This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We're from the studios of the Library of Congress, and I am Grace Cavalieri. We are with Kiki Aviles, and he carries with him the history of poetry and art and theater in Washington, D.C. We're honored to have a poem by Kiki Aviles.
Thank you for having me. This one's called I Am Losing My Mind. I am losing my mind. My writing hand has finally betrayed me. I find it hard to make sense with words that have traveled from my damaged brain to my fingers, the pen, the blank page. I know I am losing my mind. The thinking is still clear, I do believe. But typing is not my medicine. I can feel flames going out, like somebody blowing off a candle in my head. I find myself more often than ever standing somewhere in a room, by a window, in a blank live blackout. Oh, the damage, the curse I brought along with me. The fault is mine and mine only. But what the hell? I will keep on thinking till the end. Even if it's in bits and pieces, I know I am losing my mind. And it was me that brought me to this point, to this fork on this path, in this confusing forest.
The voice of Kiki Aviles. He was originally from El Salvador. He came to Washington, D.C. when he was 15, and he has set the place on fire as a poet, performer, teacher, and he has so much to tell us. Right now, you're doing a film.
Correct.
And let me see. Las Muertes, let me see if I got this right. Las Muertes Más Bellas del Mundo.
Las Muertes Más Bellas del Mundo.
The Most Beautiful Deaths in the World, a documentary about the Salvadorian diaspora in Washington. You say it is the greatest center of Salvadorians in the country.
And the East Coast.
On the East Coast, okay. And this film is seen through the eyes of artists.
Yes.
From San Salvador. Okay, tell us about it. First of all, how far is it in the making?
We're planning for a premiere in September. It's been a five-year process. I'm a theater person, and I have never done film. So the pandemic came and threw a monkey wrench in our process, but we've done a tremendous amount of research on the Salvadorian presence in Washington, D.C.
This is going to be a great contribution.
Yes.
There's nothing like it. It's worth all the things you put into it. And I know you put your heart and soul in everything. So can you read us a little? Are you going to be present on stage, on camera, or not?
Yes, I'm actually the Grim Reaper.
You know? Could you have found a better part?
And I'm also the narrator. It all came about after I found the graves of my family that were raped, tortured, mutilated, decapitated. And I finally went back to El Salvador to find these graves. And it became a poem after I wept. And when I came back, the film team said, that has to be the name of the film. So I was tasked with this, and it was perhaps the most difficult and most painful thing that I've ever had to write in my life because of the agony and the gory details that I was told as to how they were taken away from their home at night, and then...
How did you get... I know you just recently were
yes.
in El Salvador. So how did you get to the primary sources?
My friends in my town, I was on a list of the death squads. That's what I left because I was a member of the student revolutionary movement at the time. The Civil War broke out in 1980. I saved my butt by one day. The day I left, the soldiers came, and the massacres started in my town. So I lost most of my childhood friends, those family members on my father's side, and it has not been until now that I realized how much danger I had put the rest of the Avilés family because association. So my family never wanted me to come to the town because the threat was still there up until recently.
Until recently?
Yes. So
people forgot the Civil War, but some of us have not forgotten. I know Carolyn Forché will be very interested in this film. As you know, she was there at the onset. Yeah. Right. Well, can you read us a bit of the script?
Yes.
Okay. So the film is called
Las Muertes Más Bellas del Mundo, The Most Beautiful Deaths in the World.
Let us hear it.
If my wish was unique and admissible, that wish will be that my dead had died the most beautiful deaths in the world. I will erase the horror and agony of those deaths. I will turn the pencil upside down and erase until the eraser couldn't give no more. To hell with the torture chambers. Enough of those screams that managed to escape from those secret jail cells. In the world of my wish, the first thing to do will be to find them by any means, either by screaming or with the power of my fists. I will walk in a hurry through the streets of my town, holding my machete in my hand, yelling their names, confronting all those who know who my dead are, looking them in the eyes, those that were complicit, the authorities, the mayor, the priest, the pastor, the justice of the peace, the snitches, even my own neighbors. I will abandon the tolling of the bells of that useless church, the gossip of the town. Now, my wish turns into a dream. It changes its plans. Now, in the dark hours of dawn, I walk barefoot through the forest on my old dirt roads, rivers, and creeks, illuminating the darkness with just my wish and the help of the fireflies, whispering the names while stepping on the sound, the rocks, the branches, listening to the nocturnal language of those of all forests. Have you seen Chamba, Juan, El Sope, Tumblimbli, my uncle Ulises, my cousin Esmeralda and Noemi? How many did they kill last night? Where did they dump them? Please guide me to their bodies or the pieces that were left of their heads, their faces. Now, a sudden silence comes over. I whistle an old whistle. This whistle is an ancestral call. Now, here come the spirits and the phantoms. This is the moment when my wish and my dream come together and they begin to move with a sense of certainty. They take me by the hand, they guide me with their voices, the fish, the snakes, the birds, the butterflies, the lizards and jaguars, all of them, including the forest. Now, I feel my dead close. I sense their presence. I find one, then another. some of them floating, others stuck in the rocks and branches of the river. And it goes on and on for 4 pages. And this is just kind of what we shot in the film with non-actors floating in the river, mostly women, and some of them had also lost relatives.
Pure poetry. Pure poetry. This is going to be a complete masterpiece. We will all be there. I think there's nothing like it that exists. So that's all your work must be rewarding just by virtue of doing the first thing. So you are a poet, performer, teacher, and you say social provocateur. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. I knew you when you founded the first theater in 1985. Latinegro?
The Latin Negro Theater Collective, yes.
And then I knew you at Soul and Soul, S-O-L and S-O-U-L, and you founded that in 1999?
Yes.
And the Gala Theater was, I believe, the first theater in Washington for presentation. I don't remember much theater that existed before then.
Yeah, Gala Hispanic Theater is the only theater in the United States that is committed to keeping the Spanish language alive, and they do all the shows from Spain, Latin America, some from written here by Latinos, and sometimes and they have subtitles, so you know, people can follow the stories that are done in Spanish. And then sometimes they do it in reverse. They do plays in English that have Spanish subtitles. And they are, I think, 50 years old.
You were the first director?
No.
No? Of the gala?
No.
Oh, that's right. You came in 80. It's been 20 years prior to that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
So we were like gypsies.
Yeah, but you were the one that focused the light on it because nobody knew about it until you were the director.
I was the director of the youth workshop.
Right.
I worked with kids from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became Spoken Resistance. And then it became Paso Nuevo, which is still alive. So 30 plus years after I founded that workshop, kids still come after school to experience theater.
What do you think about a life well lived?
Well, the well lived part is questionable.
Hard earned, anyway. But you are a poet above all, and so you're going to give us another poem.
Yes.
This is Kike Aviles. We have known each other for 30 years, maybe, and he has just been a striving force for justice and art.
All right. This one's called Pools of Light, and I dedicated this poem to Reuben Jackson, who was a wonderful DC poet, a connoisseur of jazz and music. And this is based on my trips to El Salvador, and it's a picture that I took of this canopy, and this is called Pools of Light. Pools of light, like circular cracks coming from the canopy. Sunlight's getting through like a kid sneaking into the circus. The sun, the master. The tree, the guardian, the ants, the children, pools of light, like bottle messages floating on a solid ocean, a disco light on the green hills, a music note, the firefly at daytime, pools of light, runaway slaves from the heavens, the magic rebel light, the beauty of the dusty path, pools of light, like misbehaving children refusing to stop the game, grabbing the illuminated mud, rubbing the light onto their faces, light playing with children.
Runaway slaves from the heavens. Mm-hmm. What a line. Abandon the bells of that useless church. Mm-hmm. What lines you give us. Let's have another poem.
Okay. And this is for my next show. There's going to be a Gala Hispanic Theater in December. It's a rock and roll show. And it's called Bernarda. And Bernarda was the love of my life. And I made her into the wife of the main character in the show.
Describe the main character.
The main character is Don Amadeo Martinez, a Salvadorian peasant who discovers rock and roll at the age of 6. And when he's like 60, he bothers this radio station people. And he's from the countryside. He's a farmer. So he brings him oranges, bananas, and blah, blah, mangoes. And he keeps saying, he talks like this. Yo siempre he dicho que la verdad hay que hablarla. Y la verdad es que el rock es bonito. So rock for him is bonito. So this is Bernarda, who's his wife.
Why did you make him a peasant?
Because I am a peasant.
Ah.
I grew up with a machete. My grandmother owned 3 parcels of land, and I was the help of the peasants that she would hire. So I know the hardship of being under the sun all day, especially during harvest, when you're planting and when you're harvesting. So, and I became a revolutionary because I realized that my grandmother was exploiting the help because I worked right along them. And all of this beautiful countryside that I came from has come back to me through this character.
Do we have a memoir, or do you believe that all of your scripts are memoir enough? But don't we need a Kike memoir saying just what you said this moment?
Yes.
Okay, that's in your future.
That's in the future, and I actually want to write it with my wife, because my wife works with refugees from all over the world. And she has tons of stories that are similar to mine and to my people. The people that are now fleeing. I mean, immigration is a global phenomenon. It is like Malcolm X said, the chickens coming home to roost. You know, the North Africans, all the people that were colonized are now knocking at the door in Europe. And here in the United States, they say, you remember me? I'm the great, 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 great grandkid. Remember you took my gold? Remember you took my artifacts, my art? Remember you took my mummies? So I'm approaching this whole thing that keeps being played by politicians as a cue to speak on behalf of those that are dying at sea and in deserts, never to be found.
May you have a long life to tell us.
Thank you.
Kiki Aviles.
All right, so this is Bernarda. I met your round face and your magic eyes as you washed clothes on the shallow end of the river. We were kids, the world around us waiting to unfurl like the perfect flower. We went to school together, played Mika and softball with the other boys and girls. I knew you were the one, even though I knew nothing. I remember our first embrace and kiss, 12-year-old love, quivering love, trembling kisses, love, our knees almost buckling, our whole body is becoming electric. We both feeling butterflies in our innocent bellies, our skin so close we could hear our hearts beating faster and faster, as if trying to jump out of our chests. I was right. You were the one. We grew up. The flower unfurled. The world we now understood, unlike the flower, was harsh and demanding. But we made it ours and filled with goodness, with the goodness of being together. We stayed close to the river. We grew old. Death took you before it took me. Your soul now free, and me now lonely, but smiling at those memories. I stay by the river, and I feel your pumping heart every time I listen to the sound of water.
The flower unfurled. The flower unfurled. It is the poet's job to make life permanent, because otherwise it is a vanishing earth. Mm-hmm. So you take that very seriously. When wars rage, what can a poet do?
A poet can soothe and make people angry and make them think twice about complacency. And I do believe that art can change the perception that we have of the world in which we live, that is now becoming cold, detached from the paper, from the pen. And I think it is our job as artists to keep pushing audiences and readers to rethink.
And in the tradition of the great poets, you write about things that are beyond yourself, above yourself. You raise the vibration of poetry itself, Kike, because you are not talking about your navel. You know, you really are talking about the big picture, and this is your job. This is our job. And if it were not for poets from ancient times, we would not even have a civilization. We'd be like three-dimensional people slopping around in the mud. Poetry has raised the very consciousness of the world. It may seem like a tiny voice, right?
It does seem so, but
it's heard, though.
There are so many good poets out there, and we are everywhere.
More than ever before.
Yes.
In the 50s, I read five poets that were on the in the 30s, when I was small, in the library were like three poets. They were all white Englishmen, you know? And now there's more light on the planet than ever before.
Exactly.
And let's have some light from Kike Aviles, another poem.
Okay. And this one is for all the people that are fleeing, the many diasporas. Warning to all migrants. Today is not a good day to be a darker shade of white. The skies are cloudy. The storm is near. The most unwanted have understood they're not wanted. Praise the North Africans. Praise the Afghanis. Praise Bangladeshis. Pray for the Syrians. But you're not wanted. Today is not a good day to be a darkest shade of white. The checkpoint is closed. Today, no crossing will be allowed. Your passport is now declared invalid. I'm sorry, sir. Today is not a good day to be a darker shade of white. Look at the ocean, seas of dead bodies, floating dead dreams. The world is big. The border is near. You go by foot. You go by boat. You bring your daughter. You tame your fear. Today is not a good day to be a darkest shade of white. The government has decided hard measures must be taken. Your children will be taken away. Your children will be put in cages. You will go to jail. You will be deported. Your children will be taken away. Just thank God that you're alive today. Because honestly, sir, today you chose the wrong day to be a slightly darker shade of white.
Today is not a good day to be a darker shade of white. You have been on NPR with their Latino USA program. I did a documentary with Alberto Gaitan,
mm-hmm.
but is that for, I don't think that program still exists, USA, Latino mm-hmm. USA.
No.
So they no longer exist.
No.
Okay. It should be reinstated, perhaps.
Well, Latinos are...
perhaps a letter to the NPR's president.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There's much to be said, right? That was a great segment, terrific segment. And you have been working with Life Stories. Is that still going on? Theater
yes.
Lab?
Theater Lab.
What is that?
Life Stories is a program that, I mean, I've been there for like 18 years, and they basically send me to work to do workshops, and they're usually 8 or 12 weeks, in which people can explore their own stories, their own... and these are usually troubled people, people that are in jail or that are in the system.
What are you doing with these stories?
We do theater. We
oh,
do performances.
Those are that's the kernel for your theater.
And then we actually tape them. So it's a video now, a film project. So the participants at the end get a DVD or a link.
Yes.
And they can, you know.
Where are all those archived?
At the Theater Lab.
Very important stuff. And I see you have your first book in front of you.
Yes.
And I have a copy of that book.
Mm-hmm.
Immigrant Museum or something.
The Immigrant Museum.
Yeah. And that came out in 2004 or something.
Something like that.
Well, and we need another book. I think 20 years is enough between books. Let's hear one of your poems from that book.
Okay. I'm going to read this, and I read it last time I was here about 20 years ago. And I think it's very fitting because of the times that we're living. And it's called Let the Poets Run the Country. I don't know about you, but I say let the poets run the country. We'll be better off with books and pens instead of the misery of weapons. I say let the poets run the country. They'll give our poetic justice. Listen to those of us who want to speak. Thinking will be declared the national language. Birds will be allowed to share their wisdom. Cabinet meetings will have new agendas. The truth and Neruda will be discussed. There will be policy analysis on important matters, such as love and dignity. I don't know about you, but I say let the poets run the country. We have leaders who speak from the heart, people who will not take into account the money of thieves and liars. We will have a country filled with rhymes and justice if for once we let the poets run the country.
That is the voice of Kike Aviles, and this is The Poet and the Poem from the studios of the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by MET Studios' Mike Turpin. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by Avideh Shoshani, the Sinipet Fund, Anne Arundel Arts Council, Rivada Foundation, Natalie Canavore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin's our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.